are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosso. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
We've been talking about living a life of purpose. What am I building in life? When I get to heaven one day, what is it that I'm going to hear from Jesus himself? As I told you, I know you don't want to stand before Jesus one day and make heaven but not receive the reward that God placed you on this earth for. So this morning, I want to continue to talk on Jesus building his church and how God is building his church. It amazes me when I talk to people how many people actually believe that we have no part to play in building the church of God. People believe, well, God is building his church and you and I have no part in the building of this church. I'm going to show you today, and I'm going to take time for about 30 minutes to show you how important you are in this cause of God. Because life without purpose is a purposeless life. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses himself? So why am I alive? What am I building? Why am I building a business? Why am I raising children? How should I raise my children? In the weeks to come, we are going to move from building the church of Jesus to building family. And we're going to get right down where we live. We're going to talk about your marriage, your relationship, and we're going to talk about the three areas that people struggle with in their relationships: sex, communication, and money. We're going to say it as it is because we know God wants healthy families. Amen. Because you are the building blocks. Your family is the building block of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, Matthew chapter 16, we read from verse 13. The Bible said, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. It hasn't changed. The world still have many opinions about Jesus. There are people in Pretoria that have many opinions about Jesus. The critical question is what Jesus asks. Verse 6:15, he says, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, a little rock, not the rock, a little rock, a chip off the rock, like Jesus in character. You are Peter, and on this rock, the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Keys speak of authority. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus is building, and he's building his church. I want to talk about that partnership today, how God is invading our world today. The DRC. Africa, Asia, Europe. What is God up to? Because many people, every year, they wait for a new prophetic word, and it's like, what is God doing? Well, he's doing the same thing he's been doing for the last 2,000 years. He's building his church, my brother and my sister, and he's coming back for his church one day, a church without spot or blemish, and you are part of that church. You are the body of Christ. You are the bride of Christ. You are the family of God. You are what God is coming back for, what Jesus gave his life for. What was birthed on the day of Pentecost was a glorious, triumphant church. So Jesus said, I will build my church, his church, CRC, Dutch Reformed Baptist, Presbyterian. It's all his church. We are just different tribes. Like sitting here today, we are different families. One is not better than the other, but we are different because of our redemptive purpose. So what I'm saying is we are one church that God is building in the world today, but our identity is different. We are different parts of the body. That's why you cannot get into this interdenominational mindset, because God is a purpose-driven God, and he raises up churches with specific redemptive purposes to play a part in building his kingdom. Our mandate as a church is to win the lost at any cost, not to play Christianity, but to raise up an army that will plunder hell and populate heaven. Come on, CRC, say amen in Jesus' name. Now, that doesn't make us better than anybody else, but it does make us different. I don't change my name when people come to visit me in my home. So John 20, 21, Jesus said, as my Father sent me, I also sent you. He came to build the church. He came to make disciples. As my Father sent me, so send I you. Now, each and every one of you fall in that category. You are a you. The one that Jesus calls, whether you are a doctor, an engineer, a rugby player, an actor, a musician, your calling is the same. Cannot be higher. Your calling is the same as that of Jesus, and that is to build God's kingdom through the local church. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's build line upon line. I have a lot of ground to cover this morning, building messages. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, the Bible says, Paul the apostle says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Because nothing will happen without God's grace and favor upon our lives. Psalm 127, the Bible says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. But it doesn't say if God builds the house, they don't have to labor. We labor with God. We are co-workers with God. If we don't do our part, then God cannot do His part. Somebody told me recently or sent a message and said, Pastor, yes, Jesus is building His church, and the emphasis is Jesus is building His church. I said, you're 100% right. He is building His church, but not without us. I mean, this building in Pretoria, I tell people all over the world, I build a building, or we build a building. Did we build this building? Yes and no. We build a building, but we never build a building. We never dug the foundation. We never laid the foundation. We never put the bricks in place. We never put the aircon in. We build the building, but we did not build the building. So without our decision, this building would not be here. But we had to employ contractors, subcontractors, a professional team for the building to be constructed. Well, exactly the same with the Church of Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. He's the architect of the church. He is the builder of the church, but He chose to build the church in partnership through you and me. So if we don't plant and water and pray and give, then God cannot give the increase. He could have, but He chose not to. I mean, we're not living in the Old Testament where God's going to send a crow to the brook Cherith to provide for the prophet. God sends a man. God sends a woman. God raises somebody up whose heart is on the house of God. God raises a businessman up like a David who lived to build the house of God, who raised up resources to build the house of God, who lived for the house of God. And let me tell you a little secret here today. If you love the house of God, you will attract God's favor into your life because God loves His house. He's the father of the house. We are the family of the house. So we don't break the house down. We don't criticize the house. We don't live outside of the house. We are part of the house because God is in the house, the church. The Bible calls the dwelling place of God by His Spirit. We are being built up a dwelling place. So when the church comes together, I want to be there. I mean, my foot didn't stay in bed this morning. Notice my foot got me to the platform, but none of you are looking at my foot unless you like my shoes. You've noticed my nice shoes. Amen. But you listen to me and you watch my hands, but my hand is not talking. I can talk like that as well. I can talk like this. I didn't leave my hand because my hand wasn't preaching in the bed. I didn't leave my legs because my legs needed to carry my mouth and my mind so I could preach the Word of God. So when the church comes together, everybody has to be there because the body, you and me, are the visible expression of what God is building in the earth. And that makes you very, very, very special and very, very, very important. You matter, and God needs you to be part of what He's doing. Oh, come on, what He's doing in the earth, whether you're educated, uneducated, whether you're a billionaire or don't have a cent to your name. You are what God is raising up to build His kingdom in these last days. As a doctor, as a sportsman, as an actor, as a musician, as a teacher, as a housewife, as a student, as a scholar, God has chosen you to build by planting, by watering, so that He can give the increase. And we realize we are only the donkey that God uses. Not just the pastor. The pastor is the donkey and will say, hee-haw, hee-haw, hallelujah. But so the businessman, when God says give, the businessman should say, maybe a bit, hey, no, yes, Lord. Because when you come into the church, you come through the door of the church, which is Jesus Christ. We spoke about it last week. That's why the revelation of Christianity is, who is Jesus? I mean, sometimes people come and they say, he's one of the directors in my company. He doesn't want to be a director. He wants to be the owner. He owns the church. Adbossoff doesn't own the church. He owns the church. He owns my life. He owns everything. So it's like people think when they're born again Christians that God has to convince them to do something. That's why in the New Testament, you will not see Jesus ask anybody to do anything. He commands people because he owns you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Be happy and enthusiastic and we'll move on. Hallelujah. So verse 8 says, now he who plants and he who waters are one. One is not more important than the other. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. In doing what? In building the church. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. Another builds on it. Let each one take heed. How? How he builds on it. He says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, the right way, wood, hay, straw, the wrong way, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. There it is. I don't want to go through my whole life and build something great and get to heaven and find out it had no eternal value attached to it. Then I wasted my life. I mean, everybody can pat me on my back on this earth, but what does heaven think about me? There are people with millions of followers on Twitter and they are not recognized in heaven. And we are impressed by these people, but they have no reward in heaven. And I'm not judging them. I'm saying the only access to heaven is the door, which is Jesus Christ. Not how great you are, how many fans you have, how many followers you are, how many people agree with you, how many people are on your political party. Your political party won't get you to heaven. There is one name, the Bible says. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. And that name is exalted above every name, that at the mention of that name, oh, come on, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess of things in the heaven, things on the earth, and things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want you to know that Jesus is exalted. His name stands by itself. His name is the star that shines brighter than ever. And we as the church of Jesus are here to proclaim his praises and to make him famous in our world. Not to make him our servant, but to serve him. God, come bless my business. God says, come build my kingdom and I will bless your business. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Build my house, I will build your house. Set your heart upon my house, and I will set my favor upon your life. You live for me, I live for you. You stand for me, I will stand for you. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus, say amen. Hallelujah. But we don't use our faith and our prayer to manipulate God to do what we want to do, living lives apart from his kingdom, because God is building his church. 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 We should be engaged in building the church of Jesus Christ in the world today. Because again, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses himself? I mean, many people start out well. They start out with great intentions. They serve God. Then the blessing of God is released upon their lives. Then they don't have time for the things of God. I don't think that's smart, my brother. You want to stay rooted on the rock, on the foundation, because you're in this world for one reason. The Bible says you were created by God for God. You were created for the glory of God. So business is God's, and we'll talk about it, Ecclesiastes, it talks about your business as your joy in your life, not the joy of your salvation. So God will keep you busy with the joy of your life. Then he calls your wife your portion, but your life, Jesus Christ. If anyone's work, verse 15, is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved yet as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, the church, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Talking about the church being built up. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So we understand that Jesus is the only door into the church. John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the foundation of the church. He is the chief cornerstone of the church. He is the head of the church. But the in-between, the physical building of the church, he has placed in your hands and in my hands. We are called to be partners with God. He is the chief architect of his church. God the Father is the owner. Then he appoints a professional team, which we know the Bible calls the fivefold ministry. Then it's the fivefold ministry, the professional team's responsibility to gather the construction workers so the church of Jesus can be built. Let's look at this quickly in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 7, the Bible says, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean that he first also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some, not many. You go to certain places, everybody is an apostle. Everybody is a prophet. Well, yeah, the Bible says he himself gave some first to be apostles. Apostles are foundation ministries. We saw last week, Ephesians chapter 2, the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. So God needs apostolic senior ministry to establish his kingdom. Some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some pastors, some evangelists, and some pastors and some teachers. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. There's the purpose of the fivefold ministry. Not to tickle your ears, to equip you for the work of ministry, which is what? The work of ministry, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18. The Bible says we have received the ministry of reconciliation. So we are all ministers of God. But God gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So our calling is the same as that of Jesus, every believer. To build the house of God. We are called to the ministry. For the edifying, the upbuilding of the body of Christ. Listen now. How long will we need them? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect or a mature man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the trickery of men. The cunning craftiness. Deceitful plotting. Eating of snakes. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ Jesus. From the head, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. Listen now, by. Joined and knit together by. The body is held together by what every joint supplies. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I don't feel connected in the church. It's because you are not functioning in the church. Just like any body, every part has to function to ensure the welfare and the well-being of that body, the human body. Every part of this body, while I'm preaching, is doing its part so that I can minister to you today. Well, it's exactly the same with the church of Jesus Christ. The church grows by every part doing its share. So I want to read it again. It says we need the fivefold ministry to equip us for ministry. He says in verse 18 again, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working, every person working effectively in the church, by which every part does its share. This causes growth of the body, the church. So people say, well, the church is not growing the way it should. The reason being, because everybody is not doing their part. There are too many passengers that are not engaged in building the church of Jesus Christ. Every member has a role to play. So no part of my body can come and say, well, I'm too busy. I don't have time to operate like a brain today. I don't feel like thinking today, or I don't feel like beating today. Well, my heart is beating, otherwise it would not be possible for me to deliver the Word of God. So the Bible makes it very clear that the way the Church of God stays healthy is by every part in the human body doing its share. Every part, the lungs have to breathe. The digestive system has to function. The eyes have to see. The ears have to hear. The hand has to function. The legs have to function. Every part of the body has been positioned by God to build His church. Now my question is, what part of the body are you? Where do you fit into the body? Because the Bible says we remain strong and healthy by every part fulfilling its share. One of the greatest lies of the devil is to make people feel they are not needed, that their contribution is not needed. Well, we're going to see what the Bible says. That's not true. The church is not built by just one apostle standing and preaching the word every Sunday. I'm doing my part to cast vision, to lay a foundation, to give direction. But without the evangelist, the pastors, the teachers, the prophets operating, and then the body, the members becoming part of the body and allowing the fivefold ministry to equip them, evangelism cannot take place. Because the body causes growth by itself, not the evangelist causes growth. We just read it there. The Bible says, by which every part does its share causes growth. So when everybody does their part, it causes growth of the body for the edifying, for the upbuilding of itself in love. So when you engage in giving to other people, you get edified yourself. Because the Bible says, he who waters to others will be watered himself. So when you get your eyes off yourself, as Wakes did this morning, his daughter lying in the hospital, she fought for her life this week, literally, but he's in the house of God. He obviously needs comfort, but he's comforting other people. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, give the Lord a praise offering. Come on there in Bloemfontein. Do better than that. Hallelujah. So people say, I don't need to be part of a church. Not true. Jesus said we will need the fivefold ministry till we all mature, till we all come to the unity of faith, to a perfect man. How many perfect people here today? That perfection will come the day Jesus comes. I know in Christ you are perfected. Hebrews 10, verse 24, or Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says he's forever perfected you. So in Christ you are perfected, but we're growing up like a child. That child is everything it needs to be an adult, but the child has to grow up in the right environment. So I have to stay in the right environment. I have to stay in the local church. I have to be planted in a local church, and I have to engage through the local church. Say amen this morning. So 1 Corinthians 12, quickly, we have 5 minutes left. Verse 12, the Bible says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But verse 18 says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as pleases him. Well, if you believe in the sovereignty of God, you have to believe today that God planted you in CRC because that's where God wants you. That's where God needs you. You function in the body. I mean, my toe doesn't leave me and say, well, there's a guy over there that needs my toe. No, my toe stays in the body where I am planted. No matter how big my muscles become, one of my muscles don't leave and say, well, that guy never goes to gym. He doesn't have muscles, so my muscle is going to go join him. No, my body feeds me to become bigger and better. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. You've come here this morning, you say, Pastor, I've gone to church my whole life, but if I have to be honest today, I don't know Jesus. I heard you today. And I realize my life is not right with God. If I died today, I don't even think I'll go to heaven. I've always prayed little prayers to God. But if I had to be honest, I've wandered away from God. Jesus is not really my Lord and my Savior. I'm lost. I'm here today because I need help. You're in the right place, my dear friend. Jesus is not here to judge you or condemn you. He's here to reach you. That's why He came to this world. He came for broken people just like you and me. He came to give us purpose in life. But first, He asks a question. Who do you say that I am? Is He the Christ? Is He the Messiah? Can you testify today? I was blind and now I see. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Is He the pearl of great price? Out to these people, everybody pray with me, please, in Jesus' name right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart, I give you my life. Thank you that you love me so much that you died for my sin. I believe with all my heart you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Today I surrender my heart to you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for washing me in your blood today. Thank you for a new beginning. I surrender all to you. I declare Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.